It's time now for Ask Dr. DeSilva with Dr. Derek DeSilva on Health Radio. The doctor is in.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome. Thank you very much for getting together with me. As always, it is a pleasure to spend part of my day with you as we discuss issues and concerns about your health. It's the most important thing, in my opinion. Having all the money in the world is useless unless you've got good health to use it and to enjoy it. And that's what we do right here, noon to 1 Eastern Time, every single day, Monday through Friday, as we discuss issues and concerns about your health. You're tuned to Health Radio at healthradio.net. Well, talking about being healthy, folks, I think worrying and anxiety is one of the most crazy, well, I shouldn't say crazy. Worry and anxiety is, I guess, part of human life, but how do we control it? What do we do to keep it in check? Well, joining us today is Dr. Beverly Potter. Dr. Potter earned her doctorate in counseling and psychology at Stanford University and her master's of science in vocational rehabilitation counseling from San Francisco State. She is the author of The Worry Wart Companion, 21 Ways to Soothe Yourself and Worry Smart. Dr. Porter, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us.
Good morning and glad to be here.
So what triggered you to write this book, except that you've been working with these people for the past, what, how many years?
Well, I'm an educator. I'm not a therapist. Trained as a therapist, but I'm an educator. So,
all right.
So I wouldn't say I work with people with worry.
So you've been doing this and educating and teaching people for quite some time, I'm sure.
That's true. And actually, Worry Wart, who was a publisher, twisted my arm into writing this book. I didn't want to write it. And then when I did write it, I tell people all my books are autobiographies. Because I wrote it when my husband was in the hospital. Later he died a number of months after that. But it was like, now I'm a case history here while I'm preparing this work.
So what are some of the things? I mean, worry is a normal part of life, is it not?
Yes, and in fact, worry is good. Because worry is a mental fire drill. The purpose of worry is for us to anticipate danger and identify perils so that we can come up with ways to reduce those risks and deal with it if it comes to pass. The problem is that once we start worrying about a possible danger, anxiety gets triggered, and then the anxiety triggers more worry, and worry triggers more anxiety, and then we can get trapped in it and not be able to get out of it, and that's what a worry wart is, somebody who's trapped in it. The word worry wart comes from some English use way back, where they would say a dog worries a bone. You ever watch a dog chewing a bone?
Mm-hmm.
You cannot get it away from that bone.
Right.
That's what happens when we start worrying. We get trapped in it, and that is the problem. In fact, some people get so trapped in it, and the anxiety becomes so extreme, they start having panic attacks. And there have been people who have gone to the hospital in an ambulance thinking they were having a heart attack, and they were really having a panic attack.
Mm-hmm. What are the... Well, but what do we do?
What we need to do is I've developed this, what I call smart worry, which I got from the concept of emotional intelligence. People who have high emotional intelligence have a number of qualities, and one of those qualities is the ability to soothe yourself. That's just the opposite of a worry wart. A worry wart's like the person who keeps sticking their tongue in that loose tooth and it hurts a little bit, but you can't keep your tongue out of there. And that's what a worry wart does, whereas the smart worrier knows how to soothe herself or himself. And so what we need to do is not try to stop worrying, but to start worrying smart. And what does that mean? Well, in part, what it means is realizing that worry is good, but we've riled ourselves up now, and we need to take deliberate, specific action to soothe ourselves, to dispel that anxiety and get back to balance.
So how do we do that? What do we do?
Well, there's lots of ways of doing it, but one of my favorite ways is what is called talk to yourself like a good friend would. When you get to worrying, worry is really us talking to ourselves inside our heads. Catastrophizing, you know, what if this, what if that, making it worse and worse, and horrible pictures of disasters that probably have very little likelihood of happening. But what we want to do then is break out of that, and when what a good friend does is a friend will say, hey, you know, lighten up, or give yourself a break, or did you ever look at it this way? Or, hey, it's okay to make a mistake. Or the friend may even distract you, like, look, let's go to a movie, or do you want to go for a walk? So one technique is when you catch yourself worrying, stop and say, wait a minute, what would a good friend say to me right now?
Mm-hmm.
And then start saying that to yourself.
Right. You know, I have to tell you, and I thought I was crazy for doing this. If something starts to bother me and I start thinking about it, I say to myself, will you knock it off? Stop already. This is ridiculous.
There you go. And one of my images is on one shoulder. You know, you step the angel on the one shoulder and the devil on the
right,
other.
Right.
Well, I have the good friend on the one shoulder, and the other shoulder is the, quote, fuddy-duddy. FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt.
Uh-huh.
And when we get into fear, uncertainty, and doubt, that triggers anxiety, and that's a fuddy-duddy. Like, oh, did you lock the door? Oh,
mm-hmm.
Maybe your slip is showing. This type of thing, see?
Mm-hmm.
And so you catch yourself worrying, and then the other self says, wait a minute, knock it off.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one of my other favorite techniques, because I have the 21 techniques, although there's probably hundreds, is talk to yourself with underreactive statements. Worry warts tend to say overreacting things, like, oh my God, this is a disaster. So an underreactive statement, and I have a few of my favorites. One of them is, you know how when you're in traffic, you get this desire to sort of go faster and pass that car.
Right, right.
You know, oh boy, I'm getting there 2 seconds sooner, right?
Right.
And when I catch myself doing that, because I get revved up, I say, wait a minute, I'm not in a hurry. See, that's an underreactive statement. Or another one is when some terrible thing happens and it's going to cost me money, this may sound bizarre to you, but I go, well, it's only money. It's not my arm.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's... And one of the things, I mean, living here in New Jersey and you're on the other coast, you said you're in the Bay Area, looking at traffic patterns here, and you wonder, and you see people weaving in and out of traffic and flying through, and all of a sudden you get to a point and you're getting ready to pass them.
Right.
And you've been driving at the same speed. And you say to yourself, does it really make a difference if I get there a minute earlier? And have the stress and anxiety and perhaps even get into an accident?
Exactly. See, now that's your good friend talking to you, you see? Because this all this business is us talking to ourselves all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So you're carrying on this other kind of underreactive dialogue with yourself, saying, hey, why do I need to do this? So what if I get there a minute earlier?
Right, right, right. Now, so your book, and give us one or two other techniques.
Well, there's lots of them, and all depends on what makes you worry or me worry. One of them is imagine a happy ending. Worry warts are always imagining the absolutely worst tragedy. You know, your husband is 15 minutes late getting home, and the wife is already imagining some horrific accident. So instead, you deliberately come up with a happy ending, because guess what? Almost always those bad things don't happen.
Right.
Almost always it turns out okay. So, or sometimes, like I have a bad back, and it's so bad I have to do major hot tub duty. I even have my hot tub in my living room.
Hmm.
Which I think is very civilized. I sit in there, watch TV.
So,
you know, I'm kind of a natural speed freak person. You know, I get zooming around.
Uh-huh.
I don't have to do anything with my mind. I just put my body in that warm water.
Mm-hmm.
And then the warm water does its number on my body. It starts making my body relax, which starts making my mind relax. So take a warm bath.
Yeah.
And you can even make it a ritual. Have some nice scents and some lovely music, or
a really cute person joining you in the bathtub.
That would be fun.
That'll take care of your pain.
Of course, that may not relax you, but we won't go into that right now. But or watch a funny movie.
Mm-hmm. I love to do that.
The mind is both very complicated, like the most sophisticated computer, and yet very simple. Mm-hmm. We can only be thinking one thing at a time. Mm-hmm. So we can crowd out worry with laughter. In fact, Norman Cousins, who had cancer, discovered that by watching, he locked himself in a room and just watched all these comedy movies, one after another, and showed that this actually helped him heal.
Right. It boosts the immune system. We know that.
Exactly.
Laughter is very, very healthy for the immune system. Folks, the book is The Worry Wart's Companion, 21 Ways to Soothe Yourself and Worry Smart, published by McGraw-Hill. Dr. Porter's website is docpotter, P-O-T-T-E-R.com. Once again, Dr. Potter, thank you very much for joining us, and have a lovely, lovely day.
Well, thank you, too.
Thank you. Once again, folks, docpotter.com. I'm Dr. Derek DeSilva. Stay with us. We've got lots more great information back in just a bit.